Welcome to Sex Chat for Christian Wives.
We're four marriage and sex bloggers.
Discuss the naked truth.
What does God really want for the sexual intimacy in our marriage?
I'm Jay Parker of Hot, Holy, and Humorous.
I'm Chris Taylor from The Forgiven Wife.
I'm Gay Christmas of Calm, Healthy, Sexy.
I'm Bonnie Burns of Oyster Bed 7.
Hi, our topic is tending your garden. Garden being a euphemism for your lady parts that we borrowed from the Song of Solomon. Today, we're specifically talking about hygiene, landscaping, and even decorating your garden. Okay, my first question is that lots of women grew up with not much discussion about their genitalia and how to properly care for it. Some wives may have even been raised with the notion that you don't even touch yourself down there. But it's important to have good hygiene to avoid infections and experience sexual pleasure as God intended. So I wanted to know what y'all have learned about what constitutes good hygiene for a woman's private parts, and what advice do you have for women?
The only thing my mom ever taught me was don't douche.
And that's funny. My mom taught me the opposite, but I didn't take her advice.
And I did take my mom's advice on that. So
yeah, no, I didn't. So yeah, I always wondered what that long tube was in the bathroom.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was taught it was like a self-cleaning kind of thing. But I mean, I was told you wash well everywhere.
Yes. And as I've aged, I've learned that you don't need harsh soaps at all down there. That dries you out terribly.
Yeah. Isn't the pH balance a little different for different areas of your body?
Yes.
Anyway, so you kind of want something gentle down there. I know they actually now make wipes, like little wipes and stuff. And so you can do something like that if you wanted to because they're specifically balanced for that area of your body.
And there's special body wash for that area as well.
Yeah.
Feminine wash. It's not douching. It's just for washing.
We don't have any room in our bathroom for more stuff.
I just have the mild soap.
Well, I like the wipe thing just because, like, sometimes, like, if you go through the whole day and you feel like maybe you're a little sticky down there or something, and then I'm sorry, is this TMI?
No.
TMI.
We all know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, y'all laughing for that reason. I was like, is it just me?
Yes.
No, I'm just saying, like,
just you know, I mean, it's just,
yeah, it's a freshen up. It's like powdering your nose, but for your hoo-ha.
Powder your hoo-ha. Oh, and don't powder your
yeah,
your
actually, hoo-ha. That can cause that can cause uterine cancer. I heard
cervical and uterine cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't powder
like,
down
there. Talcum.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Talcum. There was a lawsuit.
Okay. The other thing I heard was like you don't leave your tampons in too long.
No.
I actually know a girl who got toxic shock syndrome, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It stays with you for life. It's a staph infection in your blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I heard from my gynecologist was just about making sure that you urinate
after
sex. But mm-hmm. I've also now heard before and after is.
Oh.
So I don't know.
I've heard that too.
Yeah, I haven't heard about the before part, but well, makes sense.
I have such a small bladder, I don't have any problem going before and after.
and listeners, if this is TMI.
Come back next time.
No. Come back.
Yeah. Hey, you chose to tune in. This is the one where the husbands are like, yeah, I'm not listening to this one with you.
No,
you're on your own.
The question said some women have been taught not even to touch themselves or like, but you know, you can. You can touch yourself. You can kind of check things out and see how everything's feels and it's working. I mean, I think some women really go into adulthood with the feeling that they shouldn't be touching their vulva or their clitoris or whatever, but
and how many women,
hey, check it out.
How many women don't even know what they look like between the legs?
It's actually a very high percentage.
Really?
Once, yeah.
Well, I mean, I understand why this is certainly an area of special modesty and care and stuff, but I also feel like it is still also, you know, skin and a part of your body, and you have to clean it. I mean, like, God when you made, wash, you need to make sure you, like, kind of get in the folds and wash it.
Yes. God made all of us. He made our genitalia, but he also made our eyes and our nose, and we have no problem touching those. So, you know, it's okay. It's okay to touch yourself and be healthy about it. We're not talking about masturbation. We're just talking about getting to know yourself.
I think all that's very important, because if you are having sex, I know some women do end up having urinary tract infections, and I think some of it can be related to hygiene. They just need to make sure they urinate frequently, they clean that area. It just needs to be cared for.
And we need to know what's normal for us so that when something starts to act different, we're able to look and say, you know, that doesn't look like it's something that's supposed to be there. That's not usual for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of how you know to go to the doctor and ask.
I thought like every woman who's ever been pregnant would eventually look down there to go, oh, that's a hemorrhoid.
Well, that's what that episiotomy scar looks like.
Y'all can't take me anywhere.
But I think it's only 30% of women will take a mirror and investigate their hoo-ha.
Were we supposed to do that as homework for tonight? I didn't. I'm sorry.
Well, a D minus for you.
I actually do it frequently because my grandmother died of vulvar cancer, which is very easily treatable. She was just very private and in the 1950s did not want to take care of it. So she died of it. But
oh, wow.
So that's another reason to take a look.
Yeah. Wow. That's quite the warning. Okay. Well, let's move a little bit on from hygiene to talking about grooming their garden. More and more wives are grooming. And so this one's about, you know, specifically pubic hair. And a lot of women are landscaping by shaving, waxing, or using other hair removal products or processes. So I want to know what y'all think about that trend and why it's become so popular.
Well, let me just say, if there's anybody who hasn't even thought about that, You are not the only one. I did not really. I was an adult, married many years before I even knew that was a thing. And I'm embarrassed to say that. And how could I call myself a marriage blogger to be that uninformed? But I just didn't even know for years and years that that was a thing. And when I realized it, I was like, oh, that could be a good idea. So if you're listening and you never even thought of that, you're in good company because I'm right there with you. But I think it's, you know, why not? It can be something fun and something different to try and just make things a little bit interesting.
I think a lot of times we assume that the trend is because of porn and that guys are interested in having their women not have pubic hair because that's what they've seen in past porn viewing experiences. But I actually asked my gynecologist about that a few years ago. I said, well, so what are you seeing in hairstyle trends these days? And she said she was seeing a lot of complete lack of hair, but that a lot of it had to do that women were talking about different swimsuit styles. You know, like when they had those high cut bikinis that women were wearing for a while, that just it started to get easier to just take it all off, I guess. So I don't know. I think porn might be part of it, but changes in swimwear fashions have probably contributed to.
I think of it also stuff like, you know, how facial hair has been popular or not popular. I remember, you know, in the days of Tom Selleck, the facial hair and the hairy chest and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then smooth chests are in and then, you know, this or that. And I think it's just some of it is trend. I do think that a lot of younger people now have grown up in a culture where that's extremely common. And so it's kind of a given. It's like you get your pedicure and you get your wax. You know, I didn't grow up with that.
I have a hard time imagining going to someone who's not a doctor and having a wax.
I'm not going to have the same guy who's giving me a pedicure or won't. I should say
no,
woman.
It's not the same person. No, I'm saying like it's separate things. It's like do a pedicure and then get a wax.
I know, but I go to these pedicure places and they do waxes. So I'm getting my pedicure and they have a little wax room back there. And I'm like, no. The person doing my pedicures is not going to be doing waxing my hoo-ha.
I just saw a video one time about like the positions you have to get in or whatever to get like a full wax. And I was like, no. And actually, it's the interesting thing too. Apparently the person who does that, they're called an esthetician.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because hoo-ha waxer doesn't have the same.
Well, it's not just the hoo-ha, it's the backside too.
That's what I'm saying. They have to get the back.
There's that bleaching thing.
Oh, that's from the movie Bridesmaids. That's where I learned that.
But apparently more women still shave. Or there's also the hair removal products, like, you know, I know somebody says they use like a Nair kind of thing or whatever. And there's home waxing too, if you're brave enough to rip out your own hair.
I would rather tweeze. I would rather painstakingly, one by one.
Ow!
Waxing. I mean, I've got my eyebrows waxed. There's no way I'm having anywhere else waxed.
I wrote about a waxing incident on my blog once.
A waxing incident?
Yes.
That's all she's going to say.
Well, I'm trying to think how I can. I allowed my husband to try to do it for me, and he didn't know that you're supposed to hold the skin taut before you rip the thing off. And it left a huge bruise. I sobbed. I didn't let him get anywhere near it for a couple days because it was traumatizing.
Yeah, ouch.
Yeah, so we'll have the link to that blog post.
I've also written about this too, but not waxing, shaving. I will say this. So you don't have to take it all off. There's lots of different things that people do. They trim. They do, you know, wax on the sides. They just do all kinds of stuff. You can find a bunch of stuff online on just illustrations of what is possible. But I think that one of the reasons also that couples are sometimes interested in this is because there are some different sensations. And also, if you want to engage in oral sex, it does make things a little easier if you're not dealing with hair in the area. And so I think that's one of the reasons that it's appealing to husbands, too. I mean, sometimes husbands are like, it would be great if you shaved a little bit there because I think I'd be, you know, more willing to do stuff.
You can thin things out without actually going nude. And there is a special razor for it. And I'll put the link on our website. But it's a bikini trimmer thinner. It's not electric. It's just manual. But it's a razor with a head that's like 90 degrees. Or all razors have heads that are 90
degrees. Noxzema makes like a much smaller one. Yeah.
That's it.
It's really much better.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Now Noxzema needs to like pay for that ad. But not only can you landscape, but you can also decorate. There's a lot you can do. Like you could do permanent or temporary tattoos. There are some people who do piercings in that area. I have to add ouch to that. And then there's vajazzling. If you haven't heard of vajazzling, it's basically putting stickers shaped like jewels onto your body. And you can decorate right around your genitalia, or you can just even do the vicinity, like above your pubis mons or your tramp stamp area. I just want to know what y'all think about that.
I've done temporary tattoos.
I've used the tiny little jewels that you put on your fingernails. And I wrote a blog post about using icing and cake decorating supplies.
Did you wash them before you use them for your cakes again?
I know, they're edible. They're edible.
I think sometimes it's kind of nice, like, for your husband to find a surprise. Like, ooh, you decorated it.
Yeah. And, you know, there was one time I said, I used a tattoo, find it.
Scavenger hunt.
Yes.
And we don't have to be the only ones. There's something called pajazzling that the men do.
Directly on the...
I don't know. I haven't looked it up. I'm scared to look up pajazzling and learn too much because, you know, sometimes when you put a search term in...
If it's on the penis, then wouldn't that get inside you?
I think if it's around, it could be around the base.
Wouldn't that be scrodazzling?
Okay. I just want to go on the record as saying I have never decorated. My house isn't really that well decorated either, so it's kind of like a theme in my life.
Your face is beautifully decorated.
Thank you.
My house is not decorated, but I have decorated. I put all my decorating talents into one area that only one person sees.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this once before, and I basically said it's kind of like you care for your garden, you put down the soil, you do whatever, and then like you landscape it, and then like you put a gnome in the garden. Pink flamingo, whatever, to be like, hey, look.
Well, my theory is this. If it's temporary, it's fun, and if you don't like it, then don't do it again. Hair grows back, and
it's itchy.
You know, it isn't unless you use a really close razor. If you use an electric razor that's not a really close cut, it doesn't leave you bald and completely smooth, but it also doesn't itch growing back.
Good to know.
Tip
of the day. But, you know, hair does grow back. Yeah. And so if you don't like it that way, then
big deal.
That's a good way to think about it. Because I was going to ask y'all what you think if there's a wife out there whose husband would like her to do something. And she's like, But I think that's kind of the idea is like, look, you know, you can try something. I think the temporary things are the way to go.
The temporary things are fun. Just like the trimming or sort of thinning is a good way to start. Like what Bonnie said, you don't have to just shave it all off. You can sort of thin it out. You can make it a little bit shorter. You can ease into it. You don't have to do anything extreme.
Shave it into an arrow shape, like this way for more.
Yes, exactly.
Or a heart.
Like Edward Scissorhands down there.
Oh, scissors.
He made those beautiful head shapes.
Yeah, I still wouldn't let him near that part of the... No. No.
And you know, there are women in Korea who are spending thousands of dollars for hair transplants down there.
What?
To get where women in the U.S. want to be bald, women in Korea want a nice, thick sod.
They want ground cover.
Yes.
I think that one of the things you also have to remember is sometimes I think we believe this is completely a cultural phenomenon of now. And the reality is that if you actually looked at history, there are other times where people did this. In ancient Greece, when we look at the female sculptures, it appears that women were clean down there.
And there's
too.
Even some clean Egyptian shaven hieroglyphics.
Yeah. And I know that there was a practice, I think it's some Middle Eastern countries before that, I think it's the Middle East, where they would do threading. And you know how they've probably heard of brow threading, where they like thread and then they yank out the stuff. They would do that for women down there. And so this has been something that's kind of been back and forth, on and off. You know, try a little something. I like the idea of seeing how it changes your experience with each other. So we always, always want to come back to God's word. What does the Bible have to say, if anything, about how we care for our lady parts?
I think the Bible says a lot more about enjoying them than how to decorate them.
There's some scriptures in the Old Testament about shaving your hair off, like your head, but that was all for sanitation reasons.
That's actually interesting because one of the reasons that some ancient cultures seem to have taken things off down there was concern about pubic lice. You know, I think it's still just the thing of taking care of your body. The scriptures that talk about taking care of your body. And I think there's one from Paul that he says that we treat those areas of modesty with special care. Anyway, I also think there's nothing wrong with doing it. Like we've said, it's kind of like facial hair trends and different things that we've done to care for our bodies.
You know, I used to really be concerned about the idea and think, well, I would get kind of grossed out at the thought that, well, what if my husband likes the way I look? Then if I would take the hair off, then isn't that sort of like liking a little girl? I mean, I was kind of associating having no pubic hair with looking childlike. But then I took a good look with a mirror after removing everything once and realized that, you know, adult genitals really don't look like child genitals at all. So I've heard a lot of women say that they were kind of grossed out about the idea because they think that it would be like their husband's liking a little girl. And it doesn't look like that at all. When you're a grown woman, you look different.
I think that's very true. I have heard that from women concerned, too, that their husbands wanted, that it was like some sort of sick, like a perversion.
Their motivation wasn't right. I think if your motivation is for sexual intimacy and just for fun and to experience variety, I mean, that's great. But if your motivation does stem from pornography or enjoying children that are underage, you really need to examine that.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies, for this. And we hope that our wives got something out of today's discussion, some practical ideas and some things to think about.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Sex Chat for Christian Wives. We encourage you to check out our website at sexchatforchristianwives.com, where you can find show notes and links to resources. That's sexchatforchristianwives.com. Also, if you enjoy our podcast, please take just a few minutes to leave a review on iTunes so that others can find the show. And tell a friend about us. Word of mouth is one of the best ways to reach out to new listeners. We appreciate you being with us today, and we pray that God blesses you this week as you pursue healthy and holy sexual intimacy in your marriage.